The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All we can be sure of is this.
Zach Berry and Grayson Weir are hashtag not committed.
I love a good train wreck.
Hey, what up? This is Not Committed. I'm your host, Zach Berry, coming to you on a Monday. Changing things up a little bit. One day early, as Ben will be leaving us for the better part of the week for a vacation. So we're getting this to you a day early. So thanks to Grayson for being gracious with his time. And thanks to our fearless leader, Ben, for throwing this thing up for us before he heads out of town. Grayson, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning, Zach. We're doing well. It's, you know, we're getting there. It's, I for the first time in a long time, I feel like we're really starting to turn the corner and starting to get pretty close to football season. They dropped the week zero lines for the college football season yesterday. Officially, a couple books dropped them, and we're getting there. It's the summer, you know. We gotta keep dragging through, but we're getting there, and that's always a good thing. The most wonderful time of year is right around the corner.
Any spicy week zero lines?
No, they're all pretty basic. I got to take a good look. Week zero and week one, you can usually get some good spreads. So y'all stay tuned. I'm sure we'll talk about it as we get closer. But week one and week zero, you can usually find some sneaky lines there on teams that you know, might be overlooked. And my team that this year is Boston College. Maybe I shouldn't have said that because now everyone's going to tail me, but BC early to year is going to be fun. But anyway, that has nothing to do with Ole Miss, except to say that we are getting closer to football season, and that's all we can ask for.
Speaking of football, hell of a day yesterday for the Blues and City from complete just gut-wrenching collapse to just elation with all within the span of like 6 or 7 minutes.
Yeah, it was a pretty bananas finish there, I must say.
I mean,
I'm not always on the soccer beat, but I was dialed in yesterday. And it was pretty wild.
It was a day for your boy who is a City fan. Just, you know, quite the 10-minute turnaround of like, well, typical City. Can't get it done. Blow a lead against Real Madrid in the Champions League. They finally get a good draw. They get through into the semis. Got a chance to get to the Champions League final. Can't do it. And then this happened. But, man, Ilkay Gundogan had two. And the one that's just kind of unsung is the Rodri goal. And we'll get to recruiting, bear with us, but the amazing story of Alexander Zinchenko of Man City, who's from Ukraine, so obviously dealing with a lot. Past couple of weeks, he's been tremendous for them on the left side, and yeah, he had a great run, and I mean, just absolutely snatched someone's soul. I don't remember who it was. For Aston Villa, but just a perfect ball in. And I mean, just a I don't know about you, but the way commentators talk about soccer, just the wording that they, the phrasing, everything that they say just sounds so cool.
So eloquent.
It's almost like it's so unnecessary, but also so great. But yeah, the second, the goal to tie it up was tremendous. And then obviously Gundogan gets the second one on just an incredible ball. I mean, just the tiniest of windows all the way through I mean, it was just incredible. But the back and forth between, you know, if Liverpool did this, they win the league. If Man City does this, you know, it was just a back and forth tilt. And but anyway, great day for City fans.
Win they the did Premier golf league. Too. It was an all-around good weekend in sports.
Gonna get to that too. But yeah, City fourth title in 5 years. Pep, arguably the best manager in the game right now. He's got a long way to go to catch up to Sir Alex Ferguson in EPL titles, but they move safely into second place all time now behind him, or he does in terms of wins as a manager. I think he has 10 titles now over three leagues. So Barcelona, Real, and now City. So that's pretty wild. But yeah, I was out of town. We were doing some family pictures. So if you have kids, you know the struggle there. We had five kids all under 5 years old, and trying to, which surprisingly went well, but wrangling them, get back to my parents' house before we hit the road to come back to Nashville. And I'm like, what just happened? But Justin Thomas and Zalatoris are in a playoff. It was pretty cool. And I love the new playoff setup, the three-hole aggregate. That's pretty fun. But yeah, I think Justin Thomas silenced a lot of doubters. You know, he's been pretty up and down. He's kind of been that, you know, when's he going to really turn it on and start winning? I mean, just a phenomenal day. You kind of hate to see it for Mito Pereira, who is what, leading for what, 2.5 days?
Yeah, but he shot over yesterday. He was like 3 over on the day. So, I mean, yeah. him winning would have been boring.
So, door cracked open for JT. Zalatoris pushed him. But, yeah, it was a great day. And it was kind of cool and poetic that Bones was caddying for him. For those that don't follow golf, formerly on the bag for 5 major championships for Phil Mickelson. And Phil Mickelson is kind of ejected himself out of golf. So, but yeah, Bones was there. That was cool. I like JT. I feel like he's an easy guy to root for.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was just great golf. Yeah, he hit the dab. But yeah, it was fun. His quote was great, where he said, you know, I don't think I've ever won a golf tournament when I have just a cold shank on the final day. I mean, just one of the sickest things ever to see, because that's one of those, Grayson, where you're like, they're just like us.
Yep. One of us.
Yeah. So, all right, enough. People are probably just like slamming the, you know, fast forward 15-second button, but let's talk some recruiting. Bryson Sanders, the interior offensive lineman from Chattanooga, tweeted that he will be committing a month from today. Want to hear your thoughts, and then I'll give mine. I think it's pretty wide open at the moment. But I want to toss the mic to you and let you over your big ugly and give me your take on Mr. Sanders.
So from my understanding, there are 4 teams that are like heavily in the mix, with only 3 of them in real contention. Those 4, from what I understand, are Tennessee, LSU, Ole Miss, Oklahoma. And then really only Ole Miss, Tennessee seem to be the final 2, but LSU is also in the mix. based on everything everywhere. We talked about this a little bit beforehand, but nobody really seems to know what's going on there. But obviously Bryson has the connection to Ole Miss. His grandfather played center for the Rebels, has been there a bunch of times, you know, knows the campus, knows the school, obviously now knows the program, has been there on a couple different visits. I love Bryson Sanders. We've talked about him in the past, but I'll do my quick spiel for those who didn't listen previously. I really like, most importantly, his quickness off the line of scrimmage. He's really fast and to get into a kick step. He's really flexible at the hips, in and out of his stance. So when he's, you know, coming off the line and getting into a pass set, he's quick. He's there. He can keep up with defensive ends who are trying to get around the edge. And then if they try to come inside or come at him, in the tackle position, that is, and I'll get to his position flexibility in a second, but as a tackle, you know, if they're coming around the edge, he gets out on the kick step really fast. And then if they come inside or at him, he's really strong, really powerful with his hands, really great at locking in and extending and keeping defenders at bay. Really all around good prospect on the tackle side of things, but more than likely he slates as a guard, especially in the NFL, but on the collegiate level, mostly a guard. And that's where most of his tape comes from, is at the guard position. And it's the same thing there. He's a really fast, if you want to put him in motion as a pulling guard, he's really quick to get up to the second level. If he needs a strong, powerful punch on the nose technique, on the nose tackle or the one technique, you know, a strong punch to throw them off balance. And then is really quick to get to the second level with the linebacker. He plays really, really, really balanced. And by that, I mean, obviously defensive tackles are trying to push him off guard. He is typically able to recover very well with a wide base, and keep, you know, his feet under him, even when a defensive tackle might get that initial jump or that initial pop to him and get him off balance. He's really good at recovering, finding his feet, and being able to, again, like I said, lock in and extend. I think he's a really valuable person, especially for a team like Ole Miss, where when you look at Ole Miss's offensive line, it's really strong this year, but you've got a senior in there. You've got two juniors in there. Eli Acker is likely the youngest on the line this year. As a redshirt sophomore, he may not be there next year if he has a great year, likely coming back next year, if not 2 years. So he's kind of who you're building around, I guess, Eli Acker, that is. If you can bring a guy like Bryson Sanders in to Ole Miss, you appreciate the fact that he can play pretty much anywhere on the line. I mean, obviously his grandfather was a center, so worst case scenario, if you're in dire need of someone at the center position, he knows what he's doing and he has a pretty good mentor to help him, you know, figure it out if that's what comes to fruition. But again, more than likely he plays the guard position. You could put him at the left or the right guard. Has a good bit of nastiness to him on the inside. And then if you need to kick him out to a tackle spot, whether that be the right or the left, ideally you don't want to put him at the left tackle position, but he's 6'6", 278. So he could, you know, be that anchor on the blind side. He could also play the right side at tackle. I think if you're Ole Miss, you really like him from a tape standpoint, from an intangible standpoint, and from, you know, what he can offer. But I think you really like him when you look at the offensive line 2-3 years down the road, where you don't really know who is going to be where. There's likely some work to be done in the transfer portal with bringing in someone like Mason Brooks this year. You got to replace a lot of the line. You got to go get people to come in who are ready to play, who are big and physical. Bryson Sanders can do that at pretty much every position. And he's not someone that needs a lot of work once he gets to the collegiate level. You could put, you know, upwards of 20, 25 pounds on his frame if you wanted to. He doesn't necessarily need that. I think he's at 280 now. He plays closer to 290 by the time he's in college. But you like the fact that he can play anywhere and he can do anything. I think he would be a big get. But again, we have 4 weeks to find out. And I'll spin it back to you, Zach. I have not heard anything to indicate that he is coming to Ole Miss. I have not heard anything to indicate that he is not coming to Ole Miss.
He's been very methodical with how he answers questions and interviews. Hasn't given much, if anything, away. Talking to national analysts, talking to people around Middle and East Tennessee, hasn't really said much about recruiting. He's done some visits. He has his official visit to Tennessee this weekend on the 27th, and then he goes to Oklahoma June 3rd. So I don't know. Ole Miss has been very unique in how they've approached some official visits with prospects. He's already taken his official to Ole Miss. It was early April. I think the mindset of that one, get a high-profile prospect that you really want on campus with little to no other prospects in town, so you can dedicate a lot of time with a lot of resources, a lot of people, show them how much they are wanted, all that good stuff. I think that the draw to Ole Miss is obviously his relationship with Jake Thornton, who has done a phenomenal job recruiting the offensive line, building relationships. It sounds cliche, but every offensive lineman that I have spoken with has said the same thing about him. He's young. He knows what he's doing. He's very energetic, and they love his energy and love the way that he coaches, whether they've seen him in practice coaching the current players or they've done private workouts with him, like a Preston Cushman, Flip Carswell, those type of recruitments. But I mean, I think that he was in town for his official. I think they wanted him to get around the current players, Eli Acker, Nick Broeker, Mason Brooks, and then getting his family there to see the campus, spend time with the coaching staff, and to really immerse themselves in, you know, a weekend of this is what it would be like if he were to go to school here. So, I mean, I think that like everything you said is dead on. He fits in the system at multiple spots. I think he would really excel in the interior, but he's also athletic enough. I think that's
where he slates long-term for sure.
Yeah, but if it could be something where he's a guy that maybe he athletically can give you more at a tackle position, maybe I think he's a guard at the next level and possibly in the NFL. But he could also give you something at right tackle as well. If you told me he was going to not be on the interior, I would think he would be a right tackle. Ole Miss likes his maturity as a player. Very good feet, and a very mature approach to the game. And I think that Ole Miss is in a good spot, even though no one said really anything. He hasn't really given away anything at all. But he's been to Ole Miss multiple times. He was there for the LSU game last fall and then came for his official. He said over and over, his decision is going to come down to relationships and how he fits. And he has said multiple times he likes Ole Miss because of Coach Kiffin and Coach Thornton. I don't really know. I'm not remotely close to putting in an RPM prediction yet. I know that every time I've spoken with Marcel Reed, he's the first name that comes up when he talks about putting on his recruiter hat and trying to get guys to join him. He always talks about Bryson Sanders, Wilkin Formby, and then he talks about skill player guys. But I think Marcel Reed is a very intelligent young man, and I think he knows he needs to get some big uglies up front to protect him. So
and quick.
They're very familiar with each other. They play against each other. They're in the same division in Tennessee. So he will almost certainly, I can guarantee, he will be staying in touch with Bryson Sanders over the next month. But, yeah, he's kept everything super close to the vest. I think Tennessee seems to be the number one competition here. But, yeah, I mean, LSU's right there, and Oklahoma has done a nice job recruiting. out of state talent. I don't know. We'll have to revisit this one in a couple of weeks and see where things start to trend. But honestly, if you're an Ole Miss fan, I think you should like where things are, given you have Lane Kiffin as your head coach and Jake Thornton as your offensive line coach. So we're going to take our break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more transfer portal. And I mentioned skill player guys. We'll talk a little bit about some skill player guys that are all of a sudden very important for the 2022 season. So hang tight. We'll be right back.
This podcast is brought to you by Lamar Yard, Oxford's indoor-outdoor restaurant, bar, and entertainment space on South Lamar. They now have an updated menu with non-barbecue options from Tex-Mex to Mississippi Delta catfish to smash burgers. And you can contact Lamar Yard for your private events for the spring and summer. They have a dedicated event coordinator who will help you plan your event from start to finish, and they offer on-site catering. From weddings to Greek parties or corporate events, Lamar Yard is the perfect place to host your next party. Lamar Yard is Oxford's quintessential family and pet-friendly venue, and they look forward to hosting you soon. Check them out at lamaryard.com. And if you want a place for clever dishes and captivating cocktails, look no further than Solal in South Lamar. Chef Erica and her committed team of food and beverage enthusiasts are bringing top-notch cuisine and libations to you 6 days a week. Whether it's happy hour 3 to 6, fresh squeezed margaritas, ramen, 2-for-1 Moscow mules, all of that and more, the best and brightest in-house or via curbside pickup. Check them out, solaoxford.com, or call them at 662-238-3500 and place your order today. Show also brought to you by Memphis restauranteur Kelly English and his restaurant group in Memphis, Tennessee. The renowned chef and his team are offering nationwide shipping and virtual cooking classes with Cooking with Kelly. You can learn more about the nationwide shipping at irisetc.com, and you can also book a virtual cooking class online at table22.com/iris. Kelly English Restaurant Group in Memphis, Second Line Restaurant Iris, and the Magnolia House down on the coast in Biloxi. The show is also brought to you by Cherokee Valley Golf Course in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Get on over, see Cody Allen and the rest of the crew take on their challenge of the wide plush Zoysia fairways and large championship Bermuda greens. They've got 2 putting greens to hone in your game with the flat stick, a driving range, and a chipping green to tighten up that short game. Book a tee time online at olivebranchgolf.com or give them a call at 662-893-4444.
Here in Oxford, Mississippi, golf matters for the Ole Miss Rebels, the casual looking to knock out a quick 18. Yes, we care about the fit when we hit the course, and PXG Apparel has something for everyone. Me? You Talk of Champions listeners know I'm a daily hat wearer, and especially at University Course or Oxford Country Club. PXG has mastered a snapback for any type of weather or occasion. My navy goes with pretty much everything. Point is, PXG has you covered for any and all golf attire, making sure the fit is right in all the right places. Made with premium materials and technology designed for peak performance, these confidence-inspiring looks invite all-day play, taking you seamlessly from a round of golf to the office to a night on the square. Elevate your style game on and off the course with the PXG Spring Summer 2024 collection. Head over to pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC for Talk of Champions at checkout to save 10% on all apparel. That's pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC at checkout to save 10% on all apparel.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And we are back here on Not Committed. Zach Berry, Grayson Weir with you. All right, Grayson, haven't really been able to put a finger on it or really confirm it, but there are some rumblings that one Deion Smith, formerly of LSU, from Jackson, Mississippi, everybody thought was going to transfer to Ole Miss in the summer, get acclimated, get into fall camp, compete for a spot in the rotation at the receiver position. Now it is seeming like it is maybe up in the air if he's going to be eligible. Don't know if that means he will be taking a red shirt, not being eligible, but still attending the University of Mississippi, or it would mean a JUCO, which if you're an Ole Miss fan, you would obviously prefer the former and not the latter, because if he goes to a junior college, then that kind of opens the door for another, you know, cycle of recruitment. You would obviously want him to just go ahead and enroll and try to get that GPA up. But this is a huge blow if it if it comes to fruition that he is not eligible, because that amplifies the additions of Malik Heath and Jalen Robinson, who just committed to Ole Miss last week or 2 weeks ago. I'm losing track of time, but you need someone like a Deion Smith to be on the outside, because you still some question marks about Jonathan Mingo. Still some question marks about Jalen Knox. They're both banged up. They were hurt. They did not participate in the Grove Bowl. They are trying to get better this summer to get ready for fall camp. But Deion Smith was seemingly going to be, I would say, a plug and play, but a guy that was going to compete day one and probably be in the mix for a lot of touches in this offense. So this is a huge blow.
Yeah, it is. But see, I'm so conflicted here. I don't know how much to buy into Malik Heath. I think Malik Heath is a very, very good wide receiver. I think his ceiling is equal to that of Deion Smith, but I think that he might not get to his ceiling, if that makes sense. I really think Malik Heath can be a valuable part of this offense now, especially if Deion Smith is unable to participate with the team this fall. His role becomes a lot bigger. And I think he's a valuable player, but I don't know if he has Deion Smith's skill set. And I say that hesitantly, because I do think Malik Heath he's getting a fresh start. He needs a fresh start. He didn't really get the chance out of high school to go where he wanted. He ended up at community college down there at, is it Copiah Lincoln? Is it Copiah Lincoln?
Don't know how you say it. I think it's Copiah.
I think so too.
But I don't know.
But I don't either. But anyway, he gets to Mississippi State, kind of fell down the depth chart, was struggling with some, you know, he wasn't always entirely healthy. He's now back to full strength at a new school with new opportunities, new quarterbacks. He could blossom into a bona fide wide receiver one. He could. I just wonder if he will. And that's where Deion Smith, on the flip side of things, I think not only could blossom into a wide receiver one, I think he is a wide receiver one. So all of this goes to say, and this is the internal debate I have with myself in my head all day, every day. Malik Heath is great. And when you look at his numbers, you know, he's actually not too statistically dissimilar from Deion Smith. Both of them have very small sample sizes, but Deion Smith is a surefire success, where Malik Heath, there are some question marks. So you need him to step up, as opposed to if you have Deion Smith and know that he's going to be eventually, you know, if not right away, a superstar, you can kind of let Malik Heath continue to develop. He's only a junior. I don't believe he's redshirted. I think he'd have 2, if not 3 years of eligibility left. There's time for Malik Heath to figure things out if Deion Smith is there, and then maybe come back, not this fall, but the next fall, and be a really valuable part of the offense. If Deion Smith is not there, Malik Heath immediately has to become a crucial part of that offense. And when you look at their, you know, they're both 6'3", 210-ish. They're very similar in size and stature. They're very similar in speed. They're very similar in athleticism. Deion Smith just has that it, and he's proved that it. Malik Heath hasn't proved that it yet. So if Deion Smith isn't there, Malik Heath needs to prove that it, and he needs to step up, and he needs to be potentially wide receiver one in the X position if Jonathan Mingo isn't a full go. So it's a lot of back and forth for me.
Yeah, I did just see that our very own Chuck Brownsville said that per a inside source, he is not academically eligible and will not be at Ole Miss. Again, don't know if it's will not be at Ole Miss as in will not be eligible or if it's not coming at all. We don't know. But like, about Heath, but going back to Malik Heath, though, I think it's more of a he will be a situational weapon. I think he is a legitimate red zone target with the size. And I mean, when he was healthy at Mississippi State, he showed that ability and then some.
Yeah, he showed flashes.
I mean, he can high point the football. He can create mismatches, whether that's on the outside or in the slot. You know, Kiffin likes to really attack you vertically from the slot, whether that's with a short, shifty, make you miss guy, or if it's someone like a Jonathan Mingo in the slot, a la AJ Brown when he was at Ole Miss. So I think they're going to be able to use him and get creative in creating opportunities in the red zone. That's where I see him fitting in. I don't think Malik Heath by any means is going to be a, you know, 75 reception guy. It'll be a, you know, that type of 20 to 30 receptions for 6 touchdowns type guy. Now I'm not saying that he's going to do that this season because we don't know. He's coming off the car wreck that for a while was pretty scary.
Very much so.
So we'll see his health when he gets to campus. I believe he is still scheduled to report in July. And then we'll see how he is in fall camp. But I think this amplifies the Jalen Robinson get even more. And I don't think the two things are related. I don't think this was a, well, they turned up the heat on Jalen Robinson because Deion Smith wasn't coming. They were going to take them both no matter what. So I don't think that was the case at all. But it just makes him an even bigger piece. And also going back to Mingo and Jalen Knox being banged up, you really need those guys to get healthy because that receiver room is in desperate need of some playmakers.
And I do agree. I completely agree with everything you said. I will say, however, Malik Heath could become that guy who is more than a red zone threat. He could become that deep ball guy. When you look at his highlight tape, particularly from high school, less so from JUCO, but particularly in high school, he was that guy. And he could be that guy. It's just there's so many question marks and there's so much unknown where, again, a guy like Deion Smith is that guy. So it's an if versus an is, and it really elevates the emphasis on, in a sense, you're almost asking Malik Heath and Jalen Robinson to kind of be one Deion Smith, if that makes sense. Malik Heath is that red zone guy. Jalen Robinson, that slot guy. So you kind of combine the two of them together and you get the same, you know, overall skill set of Deion Smith. And I know that's a stretch, but so bear with me. But I really, as a fan, you know, and as a just a unbiased fan of football, I was excited about what Deion Smith was going to do in Lane Kiffin's offense. And I still am, because I do think ultimately in the end, he ends up at Ole Miss down the road, unless the team chooses to move on, which I don't think they will. I was really excited about what he could do. I was looking forward to him blossoming into a real superstar first, second round wide receiver in the same way that AJ Brown and DK Metcalf got to campus and really showed out, really proved themselves. I think Deion Smith was going to do the same thing, but for whatever reason, I don't know if he just can't figure out, you know, numbers and statistics, or if he's struggling in history, whatever it is, he's just got to get his grades right. And he's got to get on the field because he's going to be so good when he gets on the field. But then when will that be? We don't know. So it's definitely a big hit, especially if Mingo is not of full health. But like you've said, and I've said, and we've said, Malik Heath and Robinson now, Jay Robinson, are they're not anything to be disappointed about. You know, they're just as good and capable of keeping this offense on track to be as dominant as you and most people around college football think that Ole Miss's offense is going to be this year. You just now need them to step up, not want them to step up.
We will certainly see. I don't know what this means in terms of the portal and trying to go get another receiver. I think it certainly means they're going to really ramp up recruiting at that position in the 23 class, but we'll continue to follow and monitor. Again, Chuck is reporting not eligible. Again, I don't know if that means he will go straight to JUCO or what. I don't know if he'll go back to LSU. I don't think that's something that will happen because he's already out of school. He's not on their spring roster. I have no clue if he will go back. I mean, I have no idea what Brian Kelly's thoughts are. But yeah, we'll keep you in the loop as much as possible. But that is going to do it. This was a quick episode coming to you Monday instead of Tuesday. We'll be back on Thursday. But thanks again to you, the listener, for tuning in. Thanks to Grayson for being able to adjust on the fly. And as always, thanks to the sponsors that make the show possible. We will be back later this week. Make sure to like and subscribe and leave a review, as we always appreciate that. But until next time, we out.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.